And that last one in there. Go ahead. Mike is live. Thank you, hon. Door shut. We're ready to go. It's Coast to Coast AM with Ian Punnett. That was the sound of my orthopedic plastic boot being strapped on before we get the show started. So if the sound that you're making at midnight on a New Year's Eve is strapping in a plastic orthopedic boot, you know, either you lived large in 2010 and you took it to the limit so that you're starting the new year on injured reserve because you sucked so much marrow out of life in 2010, or it's just you're clumsy like I am. It doesn't matter what day or year or whatever. You're somehow always coming in and out of surgery or having to pay for something stupid you did. So there you get one of those two things. I like to think of it as the former, but I know the truth. But what about you and the difference between 2010 and 2011? That's what we're going to find out tonight on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett, George Norrie with the night off tonight. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! And I hope that whatever noisemaker you're making noise with tonight, whether you're at work or at home or in a car or whatever, I hope that you are going to be celebrating responsibly. And that includes responsible dialing, too. We have a thing about drunk dialing on Coast to Coast. We much prefer that when you call in with your predictions that you keep in mind this isn't a bar and I'm not Mo and we'd like to keep the crank calls down to a minimum. In fact, we had a great night last night with some intense, oftentimes, but consistently interesting observations about the year coming up ahead. Some of them were intellectual predictions, trends that people could see, you know, that showed clouds on the horizon, be they white or black clouds coming, rays of sunshine or fears of the crumbling earth beneath our feet. But there were also many people that didn't just intellectualize them. They were having dreams, visions that they had to share of what they knew 2011 would bring. And they had no other place to call but Coast to Coast. That's why we're here for you with the numbers we'll give you at the bottom of the hour. You can always find them on the website right now. We'll get started with a look back at some of the predictions from 2009 that you all had made for the year 2010. So from as we were rolling the clock last year for those two nights of the prediction shows, we kept track of all of your predictions, and we will be sharing the rest of the predictions you had made for 2010. A few dings, a few buzzes, you get a few bonks along the way, but all in all interesting, and we'll find out more about what's coming up this year, coming up next. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Before we get rolling tonight, let's also put in a plug for what's coming up Saturday night on Coast to Coast. This is our annual professional futurists show. This year, we're going to do it a little bit differently with people who are these long-term trend future watchers, people who are working right now in the field of what's coming up 10, 15, even 20 years from now, but things we'll start to see evidence of in the very near future. So they could be future technologies. They could be trends in entertainment. They could be trends in new employment, new business opportunities coming up. But this is where you'll see the big picture for the road way down ahead. That'll be coming up tomorrow night with members of the Association of Professional Futurists on Coast to Coast. I don't think you're going to want to miss this show, both personally and professionally. I think this could be very beneficial, but mostly it's just interesting, as my futurists friends tend to be. We do a show all the time with Joel Barker. I really should get in touch with him for January, although getting a hold of Joel at the last minute is never an easy proposition, but I may try that coming up. And if you were watching any of today's football action, I think it was the Sun Bowl, right, where Notre Dame was playing Miami, crushed him, And I don't remember who the sponsor is. I'm sorry. It's always, I know you're supposed to say the sponsor. Let's say the Sea Crane Sun Bowl, right? Okay. And thanks again to another great year from Sea Crane on Coast to Coast. As I listen to Coast on my Sea Crane radios throughout the home and use their technology and their cutting edge technology all the time. It's a great organization, terrifically run. I listen to them while I'm sitting there in my my bed, my calibrated sleeping bed. So just like George, we've got the same sleeping pod arrangement, I believe. But I was watching some of the highlights today because that kid for Notre Dame that was ripping him up, Michael Floyd, used to go to school just like two blocks from me. Used to see him play in high school. He's an amazing college player, and he's going to be a great pro. All right, so looking back on 2010, what did you all get right when you were looking at this in 2009? I've got some of the predictions here. We'll get to a smattering of them throughout the night. I thought you had some remarkable dings and a few misses. Dan Galante is in charge of providing the appropriate sound effects for the dings. Dan? And for the misses, Dan, I will read these, and as always, I'll leave it up to you to determine whether or not they're dings or misses. If starting in last year, and we got really about 50 or 60 left to get to. We'll start with Tracy from Burnsville, Minnesota. She was the last one on with a prediction last year. She said a nuclear reactor will mysteriously detonate on its own somewhere in North America. Yeah. She said there'd be no evidence of security breaching or tampering, but I think there was just no evidence of a nuclear reactor detonating mysteriously. Unless you count M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender, in which case that might go down as a nuclear detonation. Chris from Ramona, California, predicted last year that Ed Dames would be judged on Coast to Coast, good or bad. Yeah, I didn't hear Ed Dames getting judged on Coast. I did hear some catty things about Dame Judi Dench, however. So maybe that's what they were thinking. Now, this is something which I really want you to think about. John from Roseburg, Oregon, last year, amongst many of you, predicted that in 2010, we would see the beginning of a cashless society. Now, it's tricky when he says the beginning of, because what does that mean exactly? So, Dan, I'll let you go to, are we in a cashless society? Do we see, okay, yes, okay, yeah, exactly, we kind of. But I don't know that we were any more in the beginning of it than we were in 2009 or 8. But, you know, okay, maybe there's some truth in there. I go back to saying I think the beginning of a cashless society should start with a focus on what our new currency should be. And I think I've really worked out my M&M's theory. So if you're judging too fast, Dan. Just hang on for a second. Okay, just give me a minute and let me pitch it, and then you can decide. So if we go with M&Ms for the new currency, then we have chocolate M&Ms for the ones, like the regular plain peanut, you know, the regular plain M&Ms. That would be for the ones. Peanut M&Ms for the fives. We could use peanut butter M&Ms, the peanut butter, not peanut, but the peanut butter M's for the tens. And they're candy-coated, of course, so people who are allergic to peanuts still shouldn't have a problem with that. You know, melts in your mouth, you get the rest. Almond M&Ms for 20s, the pretzel M&Ms for 50s, 50s, dark chocolate M's for 100s, the dark chocolate peanut M&Ms for 500s. Do we even have those anymore? I think we do. Never mind. We could use the coconut M&Ms for bearer bonds. And then, of course, you use the M&M minis to make change. So if you were buying something, and this is the brilliant part, Dan, so, you know, just hang on for a second. In a cashless society, if we had to move to a new kind of currency, you could say if you're going to buy something for $9.99, let's say you're going to buy something from C. Crane. So you send them somebody for $9.99, you send them a peanut butter M&M, And then they send you back a little M&M mini for the change. Dan? Okay, all right, okay, I get it. I'll move on, fine. But just hold that in the back of your mind in case, you know, all money breaks down. Wildcard Live, Janet is in Slipknot, Iowa, on Coast to Coast to get us all started. I hope Slipknot doesn't become some sort of precursor for what 2011 is all about. But Janet, we're ready to have you get us started for our Coast to Coast prediction show part two. And Happy New Year to you, Janet.
And Happy New Year to you, too. And I think any society that I was in last year has been cashless, but that's another story.
Well, that's interesting. Well, explain that. So around Slipknot, Iowa, you can go totally. Oh, cashless because you're broke. I see. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
I do have a lot of Skittles, though.
See, that'd be foreign currency. We're going to keep the Skittles out. See, that's like trying to bring in the yen and make it a competing currency. No, I go American only.
I'm propping up my Skittles artificially. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, well, you get the idea. So what do you think? What's going to happen?
Well, I don't know how Fidel's health is going to hold out.
Right.
And I know Raul is technically running Cuba. But I think that before 2011 is over, Cuba... Well, they already banned sicko because they really don't have that health system and they don't want people to get the wrong idea. But we will have normalized relations with them enough. They'll finally say, enough, we can't. The system has totally failed. And President Obama will be able to do a photo op of some kind on Cuban soil before the end of this next year.
Wow. That would be a brave thing for President Obama to do before a reelection. But if it represents a victory where it looks like the U.S. won, you know, Fidel lost, and we're there sort of planting the flag.
To give them the aid that they really need since the Soviet Union fell.
Right. No, I get that. Yeah. No, I totally get that. I think that's that could happen. I think that's a very interesting prediction because at some point what Cuba is going to represent to us is what past communist governments have meant to previous administrations, and that is a huge business opportunity right nearby. So, yeah, I think that would be really intriguing. Well, we'll put you down then for 2010, having made that prediction for 2011, and we move to Zechariah in Joplin, Missouri, on Coast to Coast for his prediction for 2011. Zechariah, welcome to the prediction show.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year.
It's great to be in 2011.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good year.
Oh, yeah, I hope so. My prediction is that in the tornado season, tornadoes will hit Los Angeles.
Wow.
I don't know. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, it's a place, obviously, that doesn't get a lot of tornadoes. Did you see, there was that movie where, which one of the apocalyptic movies does a tornado rip through downtown L.A.? Was that it?
2012, maybe. I don't remember.
Could have been, but I'm thinking it was the one based on Art Bell's book, the one he did about the Day After Tomorrow. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and they showed these superstorms coming into L.A. where they had three or four twisters all at once ripping up L.A.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so you think that'll happen in 2011?
Will happen, and the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. No doubt about it.
You're the second or third Chiefs person, I think, to check in over the last couple of nights, and that's totally fair. You've committed yourself. You know, you're on record. The Chiefs actually have a chance. I don't know how they're going to do against the Patriots, who looking like they finally pulled their act together. They were looking pretty winky there for a while, but now I think they've worked out the kinks and they're all working on the same page of the playbook. They're going to be the tough ones to beat in the AFC, I think, without a doubt. Let's see. Now, Dan, I have somebody on Philadelphia, but the name is not popping up on a wild card line on my screen. Oh, Butch. For some reason, my screen won't accept the word Butch.
Yep.
Hey, Butch, what's your prediction for 2011? And Happy New Year.
Oh, happy New Year to you. I believe, Ian, that Tiger Woods will have a celestial year.
A celestial year.
Yes, I predict that Tiger will connect with a Hollywood star that will help bring back the genius in his golf game.
Well, he ended well, at least, right? His last round that he played was way better than his first rounds in 2010. So he could only get better. He had a very terrestrial year, so I guess it would only be fair that he would get a celestial one. Yeah, something's in his head. He looks like he's got the major yips all the time, so that would happen. Who are you thinking then? Like somebody like a Jennifer Aniston or somebody that would give him his mojo back?
Well, I got somebody that I give you off the air, but I want to kind of leave it open because there may be more than one star that gets to his universe.
Yeah. Okay, I would think that's a pretty good bet. Yeah, I don't know that that will help his game. I think he ought to be thinking just one for now. Thank you. Cornelius from Alexandria, Louisiana. We had a Cornelius on calling last night on the prediction show. It's not the same Cornelius, is it?
No, sir. That was, I think, New Mexico. I'm here in Alexandria, about 200 miles from New Orleans. I'm saying the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl again. That's my prediction. Not the Chiefs, but the Saints.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good. I don't have the same feeling about the overall goodness of the Saints as I used to. Not the way they hacked at Brett Favre's ankle last year, but that having been said, I think it was good for New Orleans. That's all I could say afterwards. Good for New Orleans. Well, that's the way the prediction will go, and you can choose which direction you want to go with this. And I think you're already hearing some of the sort of apocalyptic differences in some of the callers. Some of the ones from last year started off very interesting. And Dan, I want to go through a couple more of those just to give you all an idea of what predictions may or may not be working for 2011. Somebody from North Portland who wrote to say that Obama will give up Taiwan to cancel out our national debt in 2010. See, I don't know. I thought he did that. I thought, do we have Taiwan to give? Because if we do, let's give that up. I didn't think that was one of ours, that we could just give up Taiwan. But if we could get at zero by saying, hey, Taiwan's yours, and sell the deed to China, I'd say go for it. If China would buy that, wouldn't that be a great way to even things up? Dave from Hamilton, Ohio, said there will be more people sacrificing their own benefits for the benefit of mankind in 2010. I don't know that that's true or not true. All he said is that there are more, so it doesn't mean there'd be a majority of Americans that were doing that. I think we saw a lot of giving in 2010. I think Americans, as always, stepped up to the plate on that, so I'm going to give that to Dave from Hamilton, Ontario. An unknown caller last year said inner peace and a love for humanity will arise in 2010. Yeah. Inner peace, love for humanity, or Americans finding a love for Twitter. I think those are maybe close. I hope we got more inner peace. I certainly have no way to prove that we didn't. The truth about 9/11 would be exposed in 2010, and that either happened or didn't happen, depending on what you think the truth is for 9/11. You can't possibly be wrong with that prediction. There you go. John from Reno, Nevada, said a newly discovered comet just passing by will be visible to the naked eye. And I'm not so sure that didn't happen. There's certainly the Clovis comet. Historically speaking, the discussion about the Clovis comet was an interesting conversation starter in 2010, but I don't know that a newly discovered comet become visible to the naked eye. I might have missed it if it happened, so don't know how to judge that. And Jack from Oxford, Ohio, said nothing major is going to happen, no big changes at all in 2010. Or, you know, did it? I think that's just a matter of opinion. Were there some major changes? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. How do you think about the Tea Party or the elections? Were those major changes or just more of the same changes? I don't know. Some technological changes, but were they real improvements? Or were they, for that matter, all that big? That's kind of how we can look back on 2010. But the important thing is, what will you be predicting about 2011? And we'll get to another half hour of your predictions coming up, as we will all night long on Coast to Coast. Stand by for the numbers so you can jump in too. On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. We'll get back to your calls coming up in just a second. The prediction show for 2011. We're making predictions for what's coming up in the year ahead. We're locking in your vote, what you think, and we'll get to that coming up next. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Very good. We've got a whole boat of callers to get to here, and that'll give you some more predictions that you made last year for the year past, and we'll find out whether we've got more hits or misses. We'll start with Nathan on a wild card line from one of my favorite places I've ever lived, Davenport, Iowa, on Coast to Coast. Nathan?
Hey, Ian. How's it going?
I'm doing very well. Let's go ahead and catch you. What's your prediction for 2011?
Well, I tell you, Ian, this got me shaked up. You know, I'm very intuitive. You know, so this came to me. This came to me like a dream, but, you know.
Right.
Anyways, basically, my prediction is there's going to be a big disclosure by WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks. But the documentation that it's going to be leaked has something pertaining to Barack Obama being a reptilian alien. Now,
alien. And you think that's waiting there for WikiLeaks to cover, that somebody has proof of that somewhere, that they have proved that in the government and somebody's made note of it?
Well, the thing is, how I know this is when I remote viewed this incident after fapping, I saw what Julian Assange was reading. It had diagrams and everything of it. It was crazy. And it shakes me up, because what happened is, when Barack Obama went to the Nobel Peace Prize, they switched Barack Obama. So reptilian doppelganger came in.
Okay. So you've seen this all in your, you know, let me just say, since I lived in Davenport, Iowa, the weed must have greatly improved. Now, I didn't smoke any of the stuff that was floating around when I lived there, but I would say whatever it is that you've come across, whatever your connection is, if it's coming in, you know, over from Rock Island or whatever, I mean, that's good stuff you got going. And I think I'm getting on to you. I think you're the same guy who calls in for these pretty outrageous things that go on for a while. So there you go. You got on, and let's move on. Let's go east of the Rockies, where Russ is hanging on Coast to Coast. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, Ian, before I give you my prediction, I'd like to ask a question. Doesn't Art usually do this?
Yes, Art usually does. He chose not to do
the weather.
Art chose not to do it this year.
Oh, okay. All right. My prediction is I believe that this year, with everything being the way that it has been, and the prediction about things getting worse, that our government's going to start putting people in these FEMA internment camps, because when things get out of control, they're going to have to put us somewhere. And I was thinking about what William Cooper said in his book, Behold the Pale Horse, and he said that the president doesn't have to do it. The head of FEMA can come up with a reason saying that it's for our own good, and I believe that that's going to happen sometime in 2011.
Well, you know, these FEMA camps, now they've been open since the Bush administration, correct? Because originally this was supposed to be under the purview of Dick Cheney. When the story first broke and people first started sending around these photos of these fully built FEMA internment camps that are waiting for us, right?
Right.
So how many years has that been? If we're looking at three or four years.
That's been quite a few years. But, you know, say the way the economy is going.
Well, what are they waiting for?
Well, when the people get so upset that they get to where they start revolting against the government.
Well, then if If the people are revolting, you're saying, that, and that will happen then this year, is people will begin to revolt against the government, is also a part of your prediction.
I'm pretty sure about that because, see, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I've seen this coming a long time ago.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to say is that if they go for another year of these fully stocked FEMA internment camps that I've been hearing about now for 5 years.
Right.
And see, if they've been keeping this open, I'm going to call for an investigation of the taxpayer waste of keeping these fully stocked, completely open FEMA internment camps for 5 years. And I believe there should be a congressional investigation into the waste of tax dollars into keeping these internment camps open. Either they crack down on us and fill them, or they shut them down. What do you think?
I agree with you.
Okay, well, very good. We'll leave that there. We've got to Suleiman, west of the Rockies on coast to coast. Suleiman?
Okay, blessings to you, Ian, and I would like for your coast-to-coast listeners to send prayers to those people in St. Louis, Missouri, after that tornado struck this evening. I believe that's where George Murray and his family is.
Sure. There's a lot of tornado damage into Illinois, too, and we may be looking at a lot of tornadoes in this January because there's these odd weather extreme patterns going on. So good reminder.
Ian, I had predicted and put it on the internet over 4 weeks ago that this winter throughout the entire United States and North America will be the severest in history, and people need to prepare for it. But the prediction that I'm going to make tonight, it has to do with Christians throughout the United States and the world. There will be a Christian worldwide movement for justice. It will start here in the United States, and it will start with a boycott by the Christians throughout the United States against the 2011 Super Bowl and the multi-million-dollar advertisements and commercials, also against ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. And Christians will realize that they will be able to use their numbers in the millions and their buying powers, which is in the billions of dollars, to force ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox to begin again to show biblical stories of Jesus Christ during Christmas and Easter, which they have stopped over the last 7 years. And it's going to be a movement that's going to spread throughout the world because Christians know we are in the end times and Jesus Christ is about to return.
Now, I got to ask you a question this. And Dan, if you could watch, I'm getting a little slapback, Dan, so if you can drop Suleiman down for just a second. That kind of prediction intrigues me because never before have the major networks not been major networks. You know, the reach, the demographic reach of these networks is so fractured. It doesn't have the impact. The fact that a show doesn't appear on Fox has no impact on my life whatsoever. The fact that ABC does or doesn't run Jesus stories means nothing to me because there are so many other networks. History Channel runs Jesus 24/7 a lot during the holidays, and a lot of these other channels do. So why is it so important to get the networks to do it when their market share is increasingly smaller? And most Americans, and I say that with great confidence, most Americans have access to at least some cable or satellite programming.
The majority of Americans still look at ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. That is why the advertisers will be paying millions of dollars every 30 seconds to a minute to advertise during the Super Bowl.
Right.
And what needs to be done is that Christians must stand up during these end times and support their belief in Jesus Christ. And the way it's going to start is going to be against these major networks and their affiliates.
Okay, I'm going to go along with you. I'm still trying to figure this out. Why would it be important for networks to show this? I mean, why would Christians say, my faith isn't validated unless the networks show this stuff to me?
Well, what was transpiring during this Christmas season and Easter and the 4 or 5 previous years, they were showing the most hideous, negative shows that were showing death, destruction, the promotion of homosexuality, all the negativity, and you've got young people that are growing up in this country that don't realize or don't comprehend the story of the biblical truth of Jesus Christ. George Nuri on Friday night on Christmas Eve promoted that Santa Claus was real. And, Jesus Christ is the Savior and the Son of God, and if we don't accept him, we are not going to enter into his kingdom. And the networks are using an anti-Jesus Christ campaign to stop people from learning the truth.
See, I guess, and that's where we differ. If I don't like what they're showing, I just turn it off, and that's about it. You know, if they're not showing me something that I don't want to watch during the holidays, I turn it off. But I get what you're saying. I guess I was just trying to figure out from your standpoint why you felt that was so important for Christians to do that. But you think that'll start with the Super Bowl, so we'll watch and we'll catch that prediction coming up. I see. Who do I have? Let me get to. As long as we went to Davenport, where I used to live, why don't we go to John in Nash Vegas, where I used to live? Hey, John.
Hi, Ian. I just wanted to wish all the Coast listeners and Coast family a Happy New Year's. And before I get to my prediction, I kind of wanted to turn things around on you and wanted to get a prediction from you. Now, do you think the Minnesota Vikings will be playing in a new stadium next year?
Well, it can't be next year. So I will predict that they will not be playing in a new stadium next year. They can't possibly get one built that fast. But whether there could be a new stadium within 2 years, 3 years for the Vikes, I think when the roof collapsed like a bad souffle and they've got to move the games to Detroit, I think that might motivate the legislators to take a harder look at whether a new stadium is in the offing.
Yeah.
If the Vikings are playing their games in Detroit, that's a bad trend.
Do you think it'll pass?
I think something will pass. I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be a blank check, but yeah, I think there's to also stimulate business and jobs and other things. I think this will be the year that even the Vikes of this year, we'll get the legislators to pony up money. Yeah. So I'll make that prediction. How about that?
Okay. Well, we'll mark you down for it.
All right. Fair enough. And now what's yours for 2011? What's coming, John?
Okay. My prediction is in the New Madrid Fault Zone area of southern southeast Missouri.
Right, which runs right through Nashville.
Close to it.
Yeah, New Madrid. When I lived in Nashville, there was a New Madrid fault prediction that was going to be some activity back then. But yeah, so what's going to happen?
Yeah, there was a big scare back in 1993 with Dr. Ivan Browning, of course.
Yeah.
And I am predicting for 2011 there will be between a 5 and 6.0 earthquake in that area.
Well, you mentioned the 1993 prediction. I was on the air in Nashville in 1993 in the mornings on 103 KDF, Nashville's pure rock and roll station, and we celebrated the day that New Madrid fault was supposed to give way and affect Nashville by broadcasting that morning live from the rotating restaurant that's on top of, was it the downtown Holiday Inn?
Yeah, right? It's the Sheraton now.
Oh, the Sheraton. So, yeah. So we were up there saying, come on, earthquake. We're ready for you. We thought if the earthquake came, we'd go rolling down that building like an air filter, you know, down a flagpole. But no such earthquake ever came. But good. Thank you. All right. We'll be watching for that. Let's go to James in Topanga Canyon. One of my favorite books of the last year was written about Topanga Canyon. Have you seen that book, James?
Which one is that?
There's a picture book that came out about the history of Topanga Canyon.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's so amazing, dude. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. Take a look in your local bookstore. It's got to have it. And it's a history of rock and roll movies and how the canyon has affected the landscape of popular music and our culture, and it's all coming out of where you live. It's a cool book. It's
interesting.
Really cool book.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. So what's your prediction for 2011?
So I feel that there's going to be some scandal involving Putin, and that whose name actually means in Russian man of revolution. But I feel like that he's going to be ousted for some reason, and that Medvedev is going to take over, and they're going to lean way conservative, and they're going to get hyper-conservative and align themselves with the Chinese. So I feel like there's going to be a major shift of power there.
And you think, in a way, then Putin is kind of a moderating influence over Medvedev?
I feel like Putin has become sort of the idol in charge, and that he's going to be toppled. And something's going to involve, I believe, with his finances, because he always claims that he's got so much money, he's the richest person, this sort of thing. And I feel like something's going to happen where it's going to become to a boiling point where he'll have to step down, and Medvedev will have to take over. And I feel like they're going to get hyper-conservative and going completely in a different direction, and just, you know, just completely disavow themselves of the West.
Interesting. And then start linking up with the East. Well, they've got a lot in common in terms of both their past, their shared past, but also some of their economic issues are similar. Thank you, James. Interesting. Chris is in Athens, Georgia, on Coast to Coast. Chris?
Good evening, Ian.
Go Dogs?
Oh, yeah. Well, we haven't had a spectacular season this year.
No, but I'll throw that in any time I get the opportunity to. So then what do you think, Chris? What's going to happen in 2011?
Well, I'd just like to say it was 1 year ago today that I first turned you guys on, and I've been hooked since then. I can't tell you how much I've learned. I've been reading up on topics I didn't even know existed. Thank you for that.
Good. Glad to hear it. So what do you think is coming then? What can we count on in 2011?
Well, what I think is going to be released to the public, or at least announced, is an augmented reality device. We already have rudimentary augmented reality applications for smartphones and things like that. But something that can do more than recognizing your location, show you what buildings you're surrounded by, more than just that. Being able to actually look at somebody and point this device at them, like taking a picture on a smartphone, and then it can identify the individual, bring up whatever information there is out there, because there are some entities data mining all of the pictures, the postings, everything that people put on Facebook or what have you, and these are the sorts of things that everybody is going to have access to pretty soon.
That's a very interesting thought. I don't know quite what the underlying technology would have to be in order to pull that off. I mean, what would be the barcode RFID chip system or something that everybody would have to buy into to be able to give you that kind of technology at your fingertips? But that's very interesting.
There's face recognition software already that seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah, but they've already run it. That's, I guess, part of it is it's not better yet. And so there's no plumb line of truth. So, you know, there isn't a hard way of measuring. So just because somebody would look like somebody else, is that enough to be able to expose them to, say, for example, litigation? If you point that device at somebody and that comes back and says that person is a known pedophile, that person is so-and-so, and then somebody acts on that and finds out afterward, oh, wait, that's not the guy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's part of why the face recognition technology sort of fell off the radar in the last couple of years, is they haven't perfected enough to be able to do it with that kind of certainty. But I like where you're heading with that. So don't get me wrong. I think that's I could see the applications for that if people wanted to buy into it. Now, that sounds maybe totally bizarre for people of a certain generation and above. But for kids coming up who are all about Facebook and MySpace, or not so much MySpace, but Facebook and Twitter and some of these other newer, even more immediate social networks, would they want that, where they just want you to recognize them based on their social media that's already online? They're saying, well, look, all this stuff's already online, so here, I'll put an RFID chip in my body so that anytime you just point this at me, it'll tell you everything about me that I want you to know about me. And we can just move on to the next phase of our relationship. I actually think that's brilliant, Chris. I think you're going to hear a lot more things like that coming up tomorrow night when we talk to the Association of Professional Futurists. That's tomorrow night's show, not to be missed. It'll give you a real leg up on what technologies are coming, what business might be like for you, too, tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.